are still talking an expository teaching on the book of Galatians, which means we're going verse by verse and looking at the chapter, and we're trying to figure out what is it Apostle Paul is trying to say to us, and what he's saying to you is very clearly, you've getting it twisted. And he's trying to say, it will get away from you. It's easy for it to get away from you. What can get away from me, Pastor? Your job can get away from you. Your marriage can get away from you. You didn't take that job thinking that one day they're going to march you into that office and tell you that they no longer require your services because of something you did or something you said or something you didn't do or something you didn't say. But it can happen. You see, it can happen when you start thinking they need me. I told one of my clients one time, I said, nobody's irreplaceable, but I'm going to make it as hard as I possibly can for you to replace me. We start thinking that we know what we're doing. We start getting a little too full of ourselves. We used to come in early, but now we come in on time, maybe. We used to not watch the clock for 5 o'clock, but now all of a sudden at 4:30, we're looking at the clock for 30 minutes. And all of a sudden, it gets away from you. You didn't get married thinking it was going to get away from you. You got married thinking, this is the love of my life. We're going to live in bliss. We're going to be happy. And then the anger comes in, the resentment comes in, the arguing comes in. The way we treat each other becomes disgusting. And all of a sudden, that woman or man that you couldn't wait to come home and you couldn't wait to see and you couldn't wait to give a hug to, all of a sudden, they're on the other side of the house. And you're living two separate lives in one house because you let it get away from you. And for some, quite frankly, quite honestly, if you let it get too far away, you can't get it back. So here's Apostle Paul, and he's talking to the church of Galatians, and he's saying, you got this whole thing twisted. You let it get away from you. I don't understand how you could get it so twisted and let it get away from you so fast. But there's good news. Church of Galatia, you can change. I'm here to tell you now, whatever's going on in your life, Apostle Paul's telling you straight up right now, you can change. Show of hands, tell me who needs some change in their life. Something's got to change somewhere. Something just can't stay the same. It's got to change. And if it doesn't change, something's got to change. Because if you don't change it, it's going to get away from you. The church of Galatia forgot the most important thing. Just like we do. It forgot grace. Your wife loves you because of grace, not because of what you do. Your husband loves you because of grace, not what you do. God loves you, but it's not because of what you do. And the church in Galatia, they started trying to earn their love. Love can't be earned. If you want to make a change, and I love this aspect of God because the more you love God, the more everything gets straightened up in your life. I didn't understand that as a new Christian. It made no sense to me. How could I possibly love a God I can't see more than my child, which I do see? But see, even your relationship with your child can get away from you, and it can get away from you fast. But you can change. How do you change? Figure out what God has done for you. Love, mercy, grace, kindness, compassion, provision. And then you do that to somebody else. But they don't deserve it. Neither did you. They're on my last nerve. You're on God's last nerve. Oh, you best believe you are. Let's begin. We're at Galatians 2, verse 8. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you, so those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. It can't be more clearer than that. You are blessed on faith. Not on what you do. But here's the problem. You've been taught to have faith in God. Yes? Has anybody taught you how to have faith in each other? You see, if I wasn't a blessed man, I'd be at the altar asking God, God, what is it I'm doing wrong that I'm not blessed? Because I'm supposed to be a blessed man. That's what I'm supposed to be. So if I'm not a blessed man, either you're doing something wrong or God's doing something wrong, and I can eliminate the God part for you right now. Have some faith. Have some faith in your husband. Have some faith in your wife. Have some faith in your children. I know they make it hard. it's your blessing on the line. So don't do it. Don't. Just don't. So what? If you like struggle, it'll find you. If you like struggle, it'll keep you. Those who rely on faith. It doesn't just say faith in God. Those who rely on faith. Belief. You can substitute faith for belief. I believe that I'm loved. I believe that I'm going to get through this. I believe that there's restoration. I believe I can make a change. I have faith that I can do all of these things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe my health can change. I talked about somebody on the stage the other day, and then I got a phone call, and he said, "I believe." And then a couple of days later, I saw a doctor's report come across the telephone saying he received his healing. See, you've got to believe in everything. I believe I will prosper. I believe that my relationship with my children will be restored. I believe that things can get better at home. But what you can't do is hear these words and go home and act a fool again. That's what you can't do. What you got to do catch yourself when you're out of bounds and apologize. Stop justifying your behavior because your blessings are being destroyed. Well, I'm this and I'm that. Yes, you are. Cut it out. I'm hot-headed because I'm this nationality. Yes, you are. Cut it out. What you are doesn't give you a right to act like you're acting. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God because the righteous will live by faith. You got to live by faith. It's just not faith in God. It's faith in your job. It's faith in your prosperity. It's faith in your health. It's faith in your relationship. You have to live by faith. You ain't getting this nowhere else. This is a revelation from God. You've got to live by faith. I have faith my child will call me today. And they don't call. What do you do tomorrow? I have faith my child will call me today. They don't call. I have faith. Another definition of faith before you. Faith is believing until it happens. That's what faith is. Faith ain't saying, oh, it didn't happen, so oh well. I ain't gonna believe that no more. I had faith I'd be a wealthy man. Didn't happen for a while, but I never lost the faith. I never believed it wouldn't happen. See, you got to also have faith in yourself. Now, a lot of hands went up saying, change is in order. Now, how many have the faith to make that change? How many believe in themselves until it happens that you can make that change? For you stubborn people that won't come to me for counseling, I'll do it right here on the stage. I know my job. Now, it says the law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. Y'all are all lawbreakers. I'm a lawbreaker. I'm talking about God's law. You can't live by the law. It is impossible to live by the law. And the same problem is going on today that was going on 2,000 years ago, and that is that Jesus came, changed everything, and people are still trying to hold on to the old things. That's where the religious spirits come in. They're trying to hold on to something back 2,000 years ago when Jesus came and said, I've come to set the captives free. I come to remove that from your situation. You don't have to live by this law anymore. This law ain't going to make me love you any less or any more. And you can't do it anyway. So what's the point? I've come to set you free from everything. There's a verse in Corinthians. It's a scary verse. It says, all things are permissible, but not beneficial. Oh, you can do it. It'll have its own consequence. I'm not going to do anything to you, but you're losing your blessings. You're losing your prosperity. You are losing your health. You are losing your relationships. You are losing everything in this world that matters to you. You're losing because it's not beneficial what you're doing. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. See, the law was a curse because you couldn't do it. So you were set up to fail. It was a failure from the beginning. The law was broken in the Garden of Eden. You see, that fruit wasn't Eve's to eat. She stole it. I get all these fools want to go to the orange grove and steal an orange. You going to sell out God for an orange? Seriously? It ain't your orange. Look at the guilty look on some of your faces. Oh, my goodness. It is amazing what we'll sell God out for. And it's amazing the curse we put on ourselves, only we never realized we cursed ourselves. We just don't receive the blessing that we knew nothing about, so nothing seems wrong to us. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. See, I can tell you what's wrong with you. You're cursed. That's why you're struggling. If you're struggling, I know what's wrong with you. You're cursed. And you got to break the curse. You break the curse by receiving the love of God so that you can give it. Because I'll tell you just the way it is, you can't give what you ain't got. See, I'll let you in on a secret. God ain't worried about your past. He's worried about your future. God ain't worried about the 200 mistakes you made. He's worried about what you're going to do next. Because God's smart enough to know you can't go back and change anything that you've done. But you can change what you do today, what you do tomorrow. And you don't have to be cursed. You can be blessed. Christ took on our curse. He was hung on a pole, hung on a cross. And he tells you, pick up your cross and follow me. And I always say it's the little words that make all the difference in the world. And the little word in that sentence that makes all the difference is pick up. You focus on the cross and following him. But it's pick up, because if you got to pick something up, that means you dropped it. And Christ is saying, you've dropped the cross. You've dropped your obedience in following me. You've dropped your faithfulness. Pick it back up and let's go. Just because you dropped it don't mean you lose it. It's still there. I will never leave you or forsake you. It's still there. It's still there. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Now, back 2,000 years ago, it was Gentile and Jewish. Today it's saved and unsaved. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the unsaved. The problem is, what the problem is, Pastor? The problem is, we don't act like we're redeemed. The way you treat each other tells me you don't know you were redeemed. tension, animosity. So if God redeemed you, who are you not to redeem somebody else? Please tell me that, because I don't understand that. I don't like the way they talk to me. So, God doesn't like the way you talk to him. Because you forget that every word you say is a conversation between you and God, as well as you and whoever else you're talking to. It's mine. That's what you said in the nursery room. When they put you with some other kids and they wanted to play with your toy. It's mine. That's what you do with redemption. It's mine. I'm not going to give it to you because it belongs to me. It's mine. Principle. God will never give you anything that you're not supposed to give to somebody else. Start acting like you're redeemed. I've been redeemed. I redeem you. What does redeem mean? Redeem means I'm not going to hold it against you any longer, because God doesn't hold it against me. God's not holding those cuss words that I say against me anymore. God's not holding that thing I put in my body that I shouldn't have. He's not holding that against me anymore. God's not holding my bad attitude against me anymore. God's not holding my anger against me anymore. Because I've been redeemed. I've been forgiven. So who do you think you are when you're holding something against somebody else? And worse, according to God, is when you try to get somebody else to hold it against them as well. If you're getting a spanking today, good. Why do I do it? Because you can change. How do I know you change? I changed. People say sometimes, oh, you're just so lucky because you get the pastor that he is today. You didn't get the one from 13 years ago. And that makes me happy. Why? It means I've changed. It means I understand redemption. It means I've been redeemed, so now I'm going to redeem you. It means I live by faith, not only in Jesus, but in my life. I live a life of faith. And I understand this concept. Delayed is not denied. Just because I don't get what I'm believing for today doesn't mean I'm not going to get it. Oh, it's coming. Stronger my faith is, the quicker it's coming. It's coming. Brothers and sisters, let me make an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. It's Scripture does not say and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. Somebody just needs to get thankful for what God's done for them. Amen. I often say, there go I, but for the grace of God. What I mean is this: the law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. God's, what Paul is saying is God set up this promise before the law. This promise that was made to you. And the law doesn't do away with the promise. God promised to bless Abraham and bless his seed. And then the Bible says that his seed will be greater than the number of sand on the seashore. I think you're included in that for those that live by faith. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on the promise. But God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. How about you make this promise to God? But God, I promise to treat people better. God, I promise to help those that is within my ability to help that you send to me. Opportunity, responsibility. Why then was the law given at all? Well, it was added because of transgressions or sins, disobedience, until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. In other words, there was no Jesus yet. So the law was given until Jesus. Here's the thing. It's always a beautiful sight to me when people begin to serve God because they've come to an understanding of what God's done for them. It is, looking for the word, disturbing when people are serving God to further their own self. I've had people get angry with me because I wouldn't promote them to the pastoral position because of the work they did at the church. If you think I'm going to promote you to the position of pastor because of the work you're doing at the church, stop working at the church, because it's not going to happen. You're wasting your time. Not going to happen. That's not what gets you the promotion. The promotion comes when God says, I have a plan for you, and there's something I want you to do. And you've proven yourself faithful. And I want to do this. That's all. The nonsense that I have to listen to Well, nobody should be pastor until they've been here a year. How about this? No one should be pastor until God says they're the pastor. That's how I got my pastorate. If I got my pastorate that way, how am I supposed to act any other way? Rules and limitations, that is law. That's the law. You're holding on to something you're supposed to let go of. Well, I can't accept them as a pastor because of what they used to do. Good thing you don't know what I used to do. Woo! My wife's shaking her head. Please don't tell them. Don't go there. You're holding on to the law. And you forgot about redemption and grace. If we could just remember we've been redeemed, I'm telling you, it'll change your entire life if you just remember you've been redeemed. And you've lost your right to hold somebody else in captivity. It'll change your life. You feel me, Trey? Okay. The law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator. A mediator, however, implies more than one party, but God is one. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. You see, when you grab hold of the promise of God, you want to keep the law. I want to live by the Ten Commandments. But I understand that's not my ticket to heaven. Do I always live by the Ten Commandments? No. But I have a desire to, not because it's the law, but because Christ redeemed me. I have a desire to help people because Christ redeemed me. People come up and say they're going to do something, like they're going to bring food to the youth center or the 1,000 other things that it could be. My heart is happy because you're doing it because you know God did for you. You're saying thank you to God. When's the last time you said thank you to God? And you remember this, thank you is an action word. It ain't something you're just supposed to blurt out and act like it means something. If you're thankful, show it. See, I have to show God we're thankful for this church. And I do that by sharing with others. How do you show God you're thankful for redeeming you? By redeeming others. Right? For if law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But Scripture has locked up everything under the control of sin so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who, the magic word I've been telling you for the last few weeks, believe. Paul's telling the Galatians, this law is not going to save you. Just because you act better than somebody else don't mean you're saved and they're not. I've got to say this. I don't want to, but I'm going to. I saw this pastor on TV for just a few seconds, and he was talking about how he had the largest church in Louisiana, 40,000 square feet. And be careful. Because you might have the smallest house in heaven. Don't make God about what you have. Make God about what you, how you act. It's not about what you have, it's how you act. How you treat others. How you forgive. How you redeem. How you give grace. That's the sign of God. How big your house is not a sign of God. And I'm getting to where I just hate watching pastors on TV or YouTube or whatever it is. Because what are you saying to people? You're presenting a false gospel. Your righteousness is not measured by your square footage. It's measured how you treat people. You can change. You can change. I did that quite nicely, didn't I? I could have went another way with that. All right, next. Oh, wow, my time's up already. All right, I got this one more scripture. It goes fast for me. I don't know about you. You're probably waiting to say, wish he'd shut up already. He's all up in my business. Wish he'd stop that. God's never going to stop that. Before coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. I'm here to tell you today, you're free. I've been redeemed, you've been redeemed. I hold nothing against anybody because you're redeemed by me because I've been redeemed. That's a simple perspective and attitude that will enhance your life to degrees you have no concept of if you'll just try it. Lord, we're thankful that we've been redeemed. We're sorrowful for not acting like it. We're sorrowful for putting other people in bondage when we've been set free through faith, through belief. We hold on to the promise of Christ, knowing that He came to set us free, And he did set us free. But he didn't do it so that we would hold others in bondage. Help us to walk this journey of faith, God. It's our deepest desire to be pleasing to you. Not because that'll get us saved, but because we are saved. Not because that'll get us into heaven, but because we know we're going to heaven. Not because it'll get us more grace, but it's because we want to give back to others that which you've given to us. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Prayer team, come up.